أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على نبينا حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصبي حقوقهم من ليلنا هذا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Special season in the month of Ramadan for seeking forgiveness and pardon and beneficence and benevolence from Allah begins from tonight. The month itself has got some peculiarities, but these days, which begins on 19th and end up till the end of Ramadan Al-Mubarak, they are all the nights of Qadr, according to the hadith that we have from the Prophet and from Aimma alayhim as-salam. And it is commonly held by the people that it is a night of A'mal. Little they know that Amal and A'mal means action and deed. And the 19th of Ramadan is not the only night of A'mal. The whole zindagi and the whole life is a life which calls for A'mal. It's not only the night of Qadr that calls for A'mal. People have been using the word A'mal with different connotation. In Iraq, when they put you in jail, the chamber where they torture you is called Ghurfatul A'mal. A'mal does not mean only that you do amal there. Every night, mashallah, mu'mineen have been coming here for dua, Quran, everywhere. All are a'mal. Fasting itself is also amal. Quran and Majeed reading, amal. So what is that something for which we all remember these nights as a night of a'mal? There must be something. We are referring, when we say A'mal, we are referring to very soon after this, when we will assemble to hold Qur'an in our hands, read certain dua while we have got the Qur'an open before us, then keep Qur'an and Majid on our heads, and cite certain duas and certain names. The Prophet, in his last days, repeatedly, not once, repeatedly said this hadith, which has been reported by all, Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Tashayyu', when he said, Inni tarikun fikum uthaqalain. Now that I am ready to go, that it is very near that I be called and summoned back. I am leaving behind two invaluable things, very weighty things. Thakalain. Kitab Allah wa itrati ahl bayt. The book of Allah and my itra ahl al-bayt. These two weighty things I am leaving behind. Ma in tamassaktum bihima. As long as you remain adhered to these two, لَن تَظِلُّ بَعْدِي, you will never go astray after me. وَهُمَا لَا يَفْتَرِقَانِ, and these two will not separate each from the other. حَتَّى يَرِدَ عَلَيَّ الْحَوْضِ, till they come and meet me on the house of Kawthar. When he gave this news, and this is a very commonly understood and known hadith, tonight when we will sit, inshallah, for this amal for which we are all waiting, in one hand you will have Quran and Majeed, and on your lips will be the name of Itratu Ahlul Bayt. And that will be the symbol to convey to the world to watch that the Prophet left these two things. He left Quran, which is in my hand, and now it is on my head. And I say, Bi Muhammadin abtu bil hujjah. I take in the name of every person of Ahlul Bayt. There can never be a better place for acceptance of dua than this. If you realize what we are doing, our minds have got to be in it. It is not possible for any dua to go unanswered tonight if these two things go combined, Quran in my hand and Ahlul Bayt on my lips. That is the reason why we remember this as amal, amal. Otherwise every amal is amal. But this is a distinguished amal. The world should know that we have still, alhamdulillah, we have got two ropes and two weighty things in our hand. We have not abandoned one for the other. Both are there. The night is night where a man transforms himself, changes. Not the night of frivolities and laughing. I mean, it's said that this night combines two events. On one occasion it is the night of Qadr. Sadly, it also is the night of Dharba. Therefore, it has become night of Gham for us. You see, tonight and on 21st also. But it has got its sanctity, that sacredness. فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم. Allah says, in this night, all that is important and matters of wisdom concerning your life is decided. Risk, ask for it tonight. Health, ask for it tonight. For your children and for family, pray for it for them tonight. For the prosperity of the community and your own business, pray tonight. For the children to grow up to be better Muslims, pray tonight. For protection from all the calamities and adversities, pray tonight. The Prophet said, for a shoelace, pray tonight. Shoelace. Because somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, there must be something major to pray about, said no. For as little as a shoelace, if you don't have, say, Ya Allah, I need one, and He will provide. That means, as far as my communication with my Creator and my Sustainer goes, He likes to hear that supplication, whether you ask for something small or big, however big it may be in my estimation, for Him it is nothing. And just now we heard Suhail say about this Munajat. Unfortunately, we cannot convey that which is called Irtirab, that which is called Bechaini, that which is called a sort of distress, and the awakening of the soul with which Ali ibn Abi Talib read this munajat. I cannot convey this because it is not there. What is there are his words. But it requires little imagination that how the man must have rendered those words. And it is for this reason that when Muawiyah, after the martyrdom of Imam Ali, asked Zarara, Zarara was one of the partisans of Imam Ali. He said, Sifli Aliyan. You describe for me Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, can you spare me my life for that? Because if I say something about Ali, you might kill me tomorrow. He said, I spare you your life. And I promise you that nothing will happen to you. And then he said, Muawiyah, Ali sat with us as one of us. In spite of being the Khalifa, sat with us as one of us. He never spoke. And we could not speak either. Because of his haiba and his personality. Then he would say, speak to me. Speak. Do you have anything to say? Speak so that I may answer. And he would try to cajole us. Be friendly with us. And then we used to speak. Ask him questions. Wallahi, when the night drew its curtain and it was dark, I saw with my own eyes in the mihrab Ali ibn Abi Talib praying to Allah in with that distress as if he was bitten by a snake. يَتَمَلْمَلُ كَتَمَلْمُلِ السَّلِيمِ You see, when he used to stand as if he had been bitten by a snake. That means with that pain in heart, مَوْلَايَ يَا مَوْلَى أَنْتَ الْمَوْلَى وَأَنَا الْعَبْدُ And the pillars of Masjid al-Kufa wept with Ali ibn Abi Talib. That is called أَنْتَ الدَّائِمُ You are eternal. وَأَنَا الزَّائِلُ And I'm soon going to disappear. أَنْتَ الْقَوِيُّ You are strong. وَأَنَا الضَّعِيفُ أَنْتَ الرَّازِقُ وَأَنَا الْمَرْزُوقُ أَنْتَ الْغَنِيُّ وَأَنَا الْفَقِيرُ This is going to be the statement tonight when we hear munajat. And at the end of every munajat, فَهَلْ يَرْحَمُ الضَّعِيفَ إِلَّا الْقَوِيُّ Is there anyone? هَلْ يَرْحَمُ الْفَقِيرَ إِلَّا الْغَنِيُّ Is there anyone who can have mercy? Why is this all? This is because Ali alayhi salam wanted to convey a particular message that in Islam, while you live a very active life, raising your family, businesses, everything, at no time will you forget your Creator. Ibn Abi al-Hadid, in his second volume of Sharah of Nahjul Balagha, there are 20 volumes out of it, in the second part he writes, that one day, in the reign of Umar ibn Khattab, the second Khalifa, a problem arose, to which he could not answer. According to his Arabic writing, he says, فَقَامَ لَهَا عُمَرْ وَقَعَدْ That means he couldn't answer, so much so, that he sometimes stood up and sometimes sat down, but there was no answer. So he asked his companions, saying, does anybody know the answer? So companions, trying to flatter him, said, you are the one who knows best. And he said, do not try to flatter me. For all of you know, فَإِنَّ لِهَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ إِبْنُهَا وَهُوَ أَبُو تُرَابٍ This mas'ala has his own son, and that son is Abu Talib, son. Abu Turab, this is Ali ibn Abi Talib. So they said then, let us call him. These are from Ibn Abi al-Hadid, who is not a Shia. He writes that Umar was told by his people that let us summon him, wherever he is, to come and solve the problem. You know the answer he gave? He said, إِنَّ لِعَلِيٍ شُمُوخًا مِّنْ هَاشِمٍ وَأَثَرَةً مِّنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَحْمَةً مِّنَ الرَّسُولِ There is a grace and honor as far as Ali is concerned from Hashim. And there is an effect of his knowledge. And there is an affinity with the Prophet. فَإِنَّ عَلِيًا يُؤْتَى وَلَا يَأْتِي For Ali, you have to go. He does not come. Umar said, إِنَّ عَلِيًّا يُؤْتَى وَلَا يَأْتِ For Ali, you have to go. He doesn't come. And all of them went together. This gives us an idea as to what people having ascended the throne of Khilafah, high and low in that society, how they considered Ali ibn Abi Talib's personality. It is not that we have added anything to it. People accuse us of exaggeration. No. Even those who lived then, even those who opposed Ali ibn Abi Talib, even those who usurped his right, they admit that for Ali, you have to rise and go. He doesn't come. But they went. Now what I want to say is, when they went, a group of people with the Khalifa, where did they find him? They found him in a small garden of his own with a spade in his arm, and he was actually hitting the spade with his feet so that he could plow. As he was hitting, they reached there, and they saw Ali. What I want to see you understand is this. They saw Ali, Quran ayah, reading Quran ayah, reciting the ayat of Quran. أَمْ حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا سُدَهَا. Do people believe that they have been left for nothing in this world? While he's working to plow, he reads this ayat of Quran. أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاهُمْ سُدَى. Do they think that we have created them for nothing? And he was weeping, and tears were rolling down when they came. They saw Ali doing the worldly work, at the same time remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was plowing the land, at the same time reading an ayah, remembering that Ali, this is of course for this world, but there is much more to your life beyond this. From this you will grow some seeds, you will have some flour, and from there you may have a loaf or two. You eat and your family eats. That's what. But there is much. La natrukuhum suda, Allah says, man has not been left for nothing in this world. They asked him the question, and as if Ali was prepared for it. The question was put and Ali answered. And the moment Ali answered, Umar looked at his people and said, didn't I tell you, there is no one who can solve this problem. Nearly 11 times in his lifetime he has said, لَوْلَا عَلِيٌ لَهَلَكَ Umar. If there was no Ali, Umar would have been destroyed. One of them is here. Wallah, O people, no mother has given birth to a son like Ali ibn Abi Talib. So, why Munajat? People have a wrong impression. That we have come here and whatever we'll do here is enough, and then when we go out we forget. We have to carry it together with us. We are allowed to do that which is halal, but we are also told not to forget the provider, the sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His commands and His orders. That makes my life, ultimately, when I go to the grave, nothing comes with me in the grave. The business does not come. The money does not come. The statement of the banks don't come. What comes in is my amal, my friends. Including the amal, inshallah, that we will do tonight. May Allah accept it. They wanted to kill him. People do not know that we have our own history as well. They wanted to kill him in the time of Abu Bakr. It was delayed till after Jang-e Safin and Jang-e Nahrawan that Imam alayhi salam was martyred in the year 40 Hijra. They wanted to kill him right after the Prophet. In the days of Abu Bakr, a plan was made and hatched to kill Ali ibn Abi Talib in namaz al-dhuhr in the mosque. And Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam was at that time in the early days forced from his house. We know this, that he has to at least, if he does not swear the bay'ah, at least to appear in salatil jama'ah. Khalid bin Walid was given this work that he will kill Ali ibn Abi Talib when Abu Bakr finishes tashahud, between tashahud and salah. Very interesting episode. Imam was in salat and next to him was Khalid bin Walid, ready with his sword, waiting for the order. And right then in tashahud, when tashahud was coming to the close, Abu Bakr started trembling in the mihrab. He now started thinking what will be the consequence. It was too late. So what he did was, he said, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad, ya Khalid la taf'al. Yes. As he said, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad, he said, oh Khalid, do not do. When he said, ya Khalid la taf'al, Khalid understood. Imam alayhi salam completed his salat and said, Khalid, what is there that he asks you not to do? He wanted to kill me. He said, yes, Ya Ali, you are unarmed. See, look at my sword. Imam caught hold him from his kabar patta, as we call it, this, and raised him like this and said, Khalid, Ali has not gone weak. It is only the command of the Prophet has made me keep silent. Ali is not weak. He who lifted Khaybar can lift you. And brought him back down and he fainted. Abu Bakr came and said, Ya Ali. He said, Ya Ali, you thought Ali has gone weak. Ali has not gone weak. It is only the command of the Prophet. Now you will not find this as a direct quotation from Ahlul Sunnah, but you will find oblique reference. Interesting. Let me tell you. Abu Ja'far al-Iskafi is the teacher of Ibn Abil Hadid. They are both sitting and one man came and said, I have a mas'ala. He said, what is the mas'ala? He said, the mas'ala is that, can a person get out of namaz after tashahud without salam? Abu Ja'far al-Iskafi said, yes. He said, how? He said, kama fa'ala Abu Bakr. Just like what Abu Bakr did. Now this man said, wa ma fa'ala Abu Bakr. What did Abu Bakr do? So they said, drive him out from here. He asked him too much. Because they don't want to relate the story. The way Abu Bakr did is, that means he said, ya Khalid la taf'al. This is the reason why Abu Hanifa also has given a same ruling in his fiqh, that just as Abu Bakr did, without salam you can come out of namaz. But what did he do, he doesn't mention. So the oblique reference is there, the direct quotation is not there. The direct quotation is from in our life, in history, where we know what they wanted to do. They wanted to kill him. And they did not succeed. And Ali ibn Abi Talib al-Islam had made a policy that Islam is in infancy. These people, they may have controlled the throne, but there will be problems. For the problems upon Islam, I have to come out and defend. And whenever they referred to him, he came to their assistance, not because of them or for them, but for Islam. For the faith, for the fiqh, and for the creed to remain intact. He compiled Quran and Majid the way it has been revealed. When they said, we don't want your Quran, he took it back. And this Quran, which is a codicil and a codex, which has been compiled by Uthman, last, not compiled, but set as a codicil, as a final codex. Yes. You see, he agreed to it because he said, nothing is missing out of this Quran. Everything is in there. Therefore, follow this Quran. Ali will withdraw his compilation because we don't want Muslims tomorrow to say that there are two Quran. There is only one Quran. This is what has led many people to believe that Ali was quite friendly to them. That these Khalifas were very friendly with Imam Ali. There was no question of being friendly, the question was defending Islam. There is one anecdote which is being reported that once two women disputed about being mother of a child. One said, I am the mother, the other said, I am the mother. And the judge said, right, you can't prove either way, so what we do is we cut the child into two. Now, supposedly this is very absurd, to cut the child into two means to kill it. We cut it, we give one to this and one to another, and the real mother said, I don't want the child. The child must survive, let it go to the other mother. Do you understand? Ali ibn Abi Talib dealt the same way. Infant belongs to Ahlul Bayt, not to them. They want it to be killed, Ali wants it to be saved. Whether it goes in their hands or whoever, as long as I am there to look over and supervise, till at last it came to him. And in Nahjul Balagha, Mawla says, they rushed over me and flocked upon me till they trampled upon my toes. And they shouted, Ya Ali, Sayyiduna, Imamuna, Ya Ali, save us, save us. Fine. But they found that the things were not according to... My friends, it is very easy to speak about justice and being very just and very fair, but when it comes to your turn and my turn to be subjected to that fairness and justice, we cry. We say, no, it is not just. Ali ibn Abi Talib's justice, Ali ibn Talib's fairness, applied to all, to his own daughter, other than Zainab alayhi salam. On the day of Eid, he saw her wear a necklace. He said, where did you get this golden necklace? She said, Baba, I have borrowed this from your manager, only for Eid night, from Baytul Mal, the treasury of Muslims. Imam alayhi salam said, I cannot afford to see it on your neck even for a minute. Remove it, for there are so many hungry in Kufa and Sham. It is Mala Muslimin. It is not Mala Ali ibn Abi Talib. She cried. Imam said, whether you cry or whether you laugh, you have to just now remove this and give it back. And there is no privilege or preference for the Khalifa over the Muslims. And then, he himself says in Nahjul Balagha, that my brother, my elder brother Aqil came to me saying, that Ya Ali, what you are giving me from the treasury is so little that I cannot maintain my family. And he says in Nahjul Balagha, that I saw with my own eyes that his sons and children small, they were unkempt, dirty dress. I saw. But Ali says, I can't. And I always told him, brother, I can give you what comes in your share. I cannot give you more than that. Every Muslim gets his share. You get your share. I cannot favor you. One day he invited me. Mawla says, one day he invited me. Invited me over lunch. I went. He is the youngest brother, remember that. Imam Ali is the youngest but one. The difference between Aqil and Ali is 30 years. When he sat there, he brought food first. You get through the stomach. Always. When you can't get through the brain, you try to get through the... He thought this will work, so he first brought the food. What were their food? There were some dates, some pieces of bread, milk, and things like that. Simple, but quite laid out. And Imam al-Islam looked at it and said, Aqil, if I don't forget, you are telling me that what am I giving you is not sufficient. Where did you get all this from? He said, Ya Ali, I have saved from every day share that I'm getting little bit by bit to be able to invite you today. Imam al-Islam said, then it means that you are getting much more than what you need. Otherwise you should not be able to save. So from tomorrow, that which you are saving will be cut off. So he said, Wa waila. Aqil said, Wa waila. Inviting you has become a misfortune. Imam said, this is how it is. Now let us do one thing. What an example. Let us rise tonight and go in the bazaar of Kufa and break one or two shops. Imam says in Najib, I told him that let us go tonight, two of us, and break one or two shops and steal from the Malul Muslimin whatever we want so that we are exempted and absolved from all this. I am with you. No one can apprehend you. He said, Ya Ali, do you teach me how to steal? He said that this is what you are teaching me. There's no difference. That is stealing on a large scale. The larger stealing has got lesser apprehension. The poor fellows are apprehended every day. Those who steal, mashallah, mashallah. The small ones are the ones readily apprehended. On the day of judgment, what do you expect me to answer? Aqil kept silent. This is the reason why Aqil used to come for namaz to Ali ibn Abi Talib. And for food, he used to go to Muawiyah. And when they said, what are you doing, Aqil? He said, namaz inki achhi, khana unka achha. Namaz, here namaz is namaz. Ali ibn Abi Talib's namaz. There's no doubt about his namaz. That is acceptable. But as far as food is concerned, I don't want to starve. Well, justice was not bearable. And this is the reason why Ibn Khaldun has written in his Muqaddimah, قُتِلَ عَلِيُّ بْنُ أَبِي طَالِبْ بِسَيْفِ عَدَالَتِهِ, that Ali ibn Abi Talib was killed by his own sword of justice. That is his way of looking at it. There were people who loved him because of his justice, and there were people who hated him because of his justice. There is a man whose hand is chopped off because he has stolen. He takes his fingers and goes in the bazaar of Kufa and says, who can be better than me that I have been punished by Ali ibn Abi Talib? And there are people who could not take it. This is the reason why there were some who repelled and there are some who were attracted. Till they decided, Allah, that we must get rid of him. And this was decided in such a manner that we should get rid of all three, Amr ibn al-As, Muawiyah, and Ali ibn Abi Talib. But this was actually a plot by Amr ibn al-As and Muawiyah. They wanted to show the world that we are going to eliminate all three, while the target was Ali ibn Abi Talib. In the month of Rajab, two or three people were prepared to say that you will go and kill Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is the date of Ramadan and this is the timing. History tells us that three people, one went to Sham, one went to Misr, and one came to Kufa. The fellow who went to Misr, he was aiming at Amr ibn al-As. But history tells us that Amr ibn al-As did not turn up for Namaz al-Subuh that day. The substitute who came on that day was killed. Another imam who came to replace him temporarily, he was killed. Muawiyah, attack was made on him, but it was on his thigh and not on his head. So his thigh was healed up after some time and he was saved. But the third one is our Mawla, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ibn Muljam is the correct name, although famous is Ibn Muljim. But the correct his name is Ibn Muljam. Abdul Rahman Ibn Muljam Al-Muradi. But whether you pronounce Ibn Muljim or Ibn Muljam is not very important. He was asked, is Ali a bad imam? He said, there's no doubt that there's no imam but he. Is there anything wrong about him? I can't see anything wrong. Then why? He said, because he has killed so many of my ancestors. So many of my forefathers. But did he kill because of personal grudge? No, he killed because of Islam, but I just can't imagine. Here, on the 13th day of Ramadan, 40 Hijra, my Mawla sat on mimbar and said, O people, this year when we will go to Hajj, I will not be with you. That was the first prediction that he made. This year when you will go to Hajj, Ali will not be with you. And then he asked Imam Hassan, O son Hassan, how many days have already lapsed in the month of Ramadan? He said, Ya Abba, 13 days have already lapsed. And he asked Imam Hussein alayhi salam, how many days are still remaining? He said, Mawla, 17 days. The question is from Imam to Imam, not to me. To me, I would say it depends upon the moon sighting. Imam knows the exact date. He said 17. Imam alayhi salam said, 17 days left. 13 days have gone. Ali is your guest. Within some time, you will find no one sitting on the mimbar of Kufa. Well, the time has come for now, Masail. And I have been asked to read it in Urdu, I will. But try to understand that this is the beginning of musibat on Ahlul Bayt. The Prophet died. There are mixed reports about whether he died natural death or he was poisoned. Lady Fatima Zahra, she said on the grave of her father, Subbat alayya masaibun. لَوْ أَنَّهَا سُبَّتْ عَلَى الْأَيَّامِ سِرْنَ لَيَالِيَا. So much of adversity and calamity has befallen me, O my father. If they had befallen the day, it would have turned into dark night. Yet, we are made to believe that nothing had happened. She died naturally. But the first instance in which a sword was used together with the poison, giving us an intimation that from now onwards, Ahlul Bayt will either be killed by the sword or by the poison, begins with Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Rasulullah ki hadith hai. Ya azim hadith. Farmaya ya Ali, main aur aap is ummat ke paap hain. يا علي انا وانت ابوا هذه الامه. یہ حدیث اسبغ بن نباتہ کو مولا علی نے خود سنا کے کہی ہے کہ اسبغ سن, رسول اللہ نے مجھے یہ کہا ہے اور میری ہتھیلی پر دو انگلیاں رکھ کے نشان کر کے کہا, یا علی انت وانا ابوا هذه الامه, میں اور تم اس امت کے باپ. آپ اس کا مطلب سمجھے؟ اگر سمجھتے تو رو پڑتے دوستو. اس کا مطلب یہ ہے کہ آج ہم یتیم ہو رہے ہیں. دنیا میں جس کا باپ اٹھ جاتا ہے, رسول اللہ اٹھ گئے ہم یتیم ہوئے, آج علی اٹھ رہے ہیں ہم یتیم ہو رہے ہیں دوستو. یہ وہ شے ہے کہ جس کو سمجھنے کی ضرورت ہے. بس 19ویں شب آئی, اور میں اشارہ کرتے کرتے آگے بڑھوں گا. 19ویں شب آئی, علی ابن ابی طالب اپنے ایک نے ایک اولاد کے گھر پہ جا کے افطار کرتے تھے. آج ام کلثوم کی باری تھی. کبھی حسن کے گھر پہ جا کے افطار کرتے تھے, کبھی حسین کے یہاں, کبھی زینب کے یہاں, کبھی ام کلثوم کے یہاں. آج ام کلثوم کی باری تھی. داخل ہوئے گھر میں,
ام کلثوم فرماتی ہیں کہ میں نے دیکھا بابا تشریف لائے اور بیٹھے, تھوڑی دیر کے بعد میری طرف دیکھا اور پھر زمین پر آنکھیں جما کے کہنے لگے, ام کلثوم آج کون سی شب ہے؟ کہا بابا آج 19ویں شب. تھوڑی دیر کے بعد کہا, ام کلثوم آج کی رات میں کوئی شے ڈراؤنی اور بھیانک معلوم ہوتی ہے؟ کچھ تم محسوس کرتی ہو؟ کہا نہیں بابا کچھ بھی نہیں آج. کہا واللہ ام کلثوم نہ معلوم یہ تیرا باپ جس نے خیبر و بدر و احد میں دشمنوں کا مقابلہ کیا ہے آج دل میں ایک دھڑکن محسوس کرتا ہے, معلوم یہ ہوتا ہے کہ رب ذوالجلال کی ملاقات کا وقت قریب آیا ہے. یہ علی کسی سے نہیں ڈرتا تھا, آج ایک خوف طاری ہے. میں نے کہا بابا خدا آپ کو سلامت رکھے, ایسی باتیں آپ نہ کیا کریں. اتنے میں وقت افطار کا آیا, میں نے افطار پیش کیا, اس میں ایک روٹی تھی, نمک تھا اور دودھ تھا. ایک مرتبہ مولا نے کھانے کی طرف دیکھا اور پھر میری طرف دیکھ کے کہا, بیٹی کیا تو نے ایک مرتبہ علی کو تین چیزوں سے افطار کرتے کبھی دیکھا تھا؟ یہ آج اتنی چیزیں کیوں لے کے آئے بیٹی؟ میں سے ایک لے جا. تو میں نے کہا بابا کچھ زیادہ تو ہے ہی نہیں. کہا نہیں بیٹی, علی نے کبھی ایک شے سے زیادہ کسی پر افطار نہیں کیا. تو میں نے کوشش کی کہ میں روٹی اٹھاؤں, فرمایا نہیں دودھ اٹھا لے. ارے بہت سے گھروں میں دودھ نہیں ہوتا. اس کے بعد جب رات بڑھتی گئی, دوستو ام کلثوم فرماتی ہے کہ علی گھر پہ ہی رہے, ہمارے باپ گھر پہ رہے, بیٹی خوش تھی کہ نماز کا وقت سب کچھ گزر گیا, بیٹی کے گھر پہ بات. کہا بیٹی آج اگر میں یہاں تھوڑی دیر سو جاؤں تو تھوڑی دیر؟ کہا نہیں بابا گھر آپ کا ہی تو ہے. تھوڑی دیر کہتے ہیں کہ سوئے کہ نہ سوئے, ایک مرتبہ پھر اٹھے. اٹھے صحن خانہ میں جا کے آسمان کی طرف دیکھا اور کہا ہاں واللہ یہ وہی رات. اے میرے مالک تو جانتا ہے کہ کسی جنگ میں علی ڈرا نہیں ہے, آج تیری ملاقات کے لیے آ رہا ہوں, آج یہی رات ہے, واللہ یہی رات ہے, پروردگار گواہ رہنا اسی رات کے لیے تیرے حبیب نے مجھے کہا تھا کہ جو شقی امت ہوگا جب تلوار مارے گا تو یہاں کا خون داری کو کھلا دے. واپس آئے دوستو, سحر کا وقت جب آیا تو ام کلثوم سے کہا کہ میں اب مسجد کو جا رہا ہوں. ام کلثوم نے کہا بابا جلدی کیا ہے؟ کہا اب میں جا رہا ہوں اور میں یہ چاہتا ہوں کہ اپنے پروردگار سے ہمیشہ کی طرح مناجات کروں. یہ مسجد کوفہ ہے جس کی مناجات آج پڑھیں گے, وہ ہر شب کو پڑھتا ہے علی ابن ابی طالب. مولا یا مولا اسألک الامان, میں جا رہا ہوں. بس ام کلثوم کہتی ہیں کہ ادھر علی دروازے کی طرف گئے, گھر میں کچھ مرغابیاں پلی ہوئی تھیں, مرغابیاں فاؤس و ہینس کو کہتے ہیں, وہ اتنی شدت سے آواز کرنے لگی, اتنی شدت سے گویا رونے لگی کہ ایک مرتبہ میرے بابا نے دیکھ کے کہا ان نوحہ کرنے والوں کو ابھی خاموش کرو کہ ان نوحہ کرنے کے بعد رونے کی آواز بلند ہوگی. نوائح تتبعها صوائح, یہ نوحہ کرتی ہے, اب اس کے بعد رونے کی آواز بلند ہونے والی ہے. اور کہا ام کلثوم یہ گونگے جانور ہیں, اگر ان کی تم خدمت نہ کر سکو, اگر وقت پر کھانا دانا نہ دے سکو تو ان کو آزاد کر دینا بیٹی, یہ گونگے جانور ہیں, یہ خدا کی مخلوق ہے, ان پر رحم کرنا. یہ کہہ کے مولا آگے بڑھے. جب آگے بڑھے تو حلقہ زنجیر در میں مولا کا کمر پٹا رک گیا. مولا نے کہا دروازے اے جانے دے, میں جانتا ہوں جو ہونے والا. اور آگے بڑھے, مسجد میں آئے, دوستو آسمان کی طرف دیکھا, تہجد
اور مناجات ختم کر کے مولا خود مذنے پر اذان کے لیے گئے، اذان بھی دی مولا نے، جب اترے تو صحن کوفہ بہت بڑا ہوتا ہے، صحن کوفہ میں نکلے، ایک ایک کو اٹھایا، اے اٹھ نماز کا وقت ہو گیا، جاگ نماز کا وقت ہو گیا، جاگ نماز کا وقت ہو گیا، ایک آدمی کو دیکھا کہ وہ اپنے سینے پر سویا ہے، آپ نے اس سے کہا اٹھ، کہ اس طرح سے سونا ابلیس کا سونا ہے، یا تو اپنی پشت پر سو یا کروٹ پہ سو، یوں نہ سویا کر۔ یہ کہہ کر امام آگے بڑھے، ہر ایک اٹھ گئے۔ حجر بن عدی کہتے ہیں کہ ہم لوگ چونکہ 19ویں شب تھی، شب قدر تھی، اس لیے ہم اس رات میں جاگا کرتے تھے، ایک پوری جماعت مغرب کے لوگوں کی آئی تھی، نمازوں میں مشغول تھی، علی ابن ابی طالب علیہ السلام جب آئے ہیں تو محراب کے پاس آ کے بیٹھے اور ایک دم سے آواز دی، الصلاح الصلاح الصلاح، اذان لو دے چکے ہیں، اب نماز کے جمع ہو جاؤ۔ ادھر ساری صفیں قائم ہوئی، ایک شخص بالکل مولا کے پیچھے اس ستون اور کھمبے کے پیچھے کھڑا ہو گیا، اور اس کے ساتھ میں عبد الرحمن ابن ملجم کھڑا ہو گیا۔ بس دوستو، اس شخص کا نام ہے شبیب، اس نے پہلی تلوار ماری ہے، مگر یہ جو پہلی تلوار ہے یہ ستون پہ لگی، کھمبے پر لگی، جب ستون پہ لگی تو گویا بخ کسی ایک مرتبہ اس میں سے شعاع نکلی، لوگوں نے دیکھا کہ اس میں تو کوئی لائٹ ہے، کوئی نور ہے، مگر وہ برق ہے، اصل میں تلوار کا لگنا تھا عبد الرحمن نے مجھے میں دیکھا کہ وار خطا کیا ہے، بس اس نے جو تلوار اٹھائی ہے تو اس وقت لگی ہے جبکہ مولا سجدے سے سر اٹھا رہے ہیں۔ بس دوستو، جبریل امین نے اپنا تاج پھینکا اور ایک مرتبہ آواز آئی، دروازے جو ہے وہ آپس میں ٹکرانے لگے، ایک سیاہ آندھی چلی، آواز آئی لقد تہدمت واللہ ارکان الہدا، ارے ہدایت کے ستون کو آج گرا دیا گیا ہے۔ علی ابن ابی طالب سر کو سنبھالے ہوئے ایک مرتبہ سر اٹھائے اور کہنے لگے، مالک مٹی سے پیدا کیا، مٹی سے اٹھایا اور مٹی میں واپس جانا ہے۔ امام حسن حسین ساتھ کھڑے ہیں، واللہ اس کو کہتے ہیں دین اور اس کو کہتے ہیں حفاظت دین۔ میرے دوستو، کہ ایک مرتبہ مولا نے امام حسن سے کہا، بیٹا یہ نماز صبح تم پوری کرواؤ، اس لیے کہ اب امامت ہو نہیں سکتی، حالت نہیں ہے۔ ایک مرتبہ پٹا باندھا گیا مولا کے سر پر، اور یہ ساری تاریخوں میں ملے گا کہ حسن علیہ السلام نے نماز پڑھائی اور اشارے سے علی ابن ابی طالب نے پڑھی۔ واللہ نماز کی اہمیت سمجھے کہ نماز کیا چیز ہے۔ اور جب نماز ختم ہوئی تو کہا، بیٹا اب مجھے گھر پہنچا دے، اب مجھے گھر پہنچا دے۔ دوستو، بس میں نے ختم کیا، ایک قالین پر مولا کو سلایا گیا اور وہ قالین اس طرح سے اٹھا ہے مسجد کوفہ سے گھر طرف جیسے جنازہ اٹھتا ہے، لوگ رو رہے ہیں، شور مچ رہا ہے، علی کا گھر قریب ہے، دور نہیں ہے۔ جب دروازے پر پہنچے دوستو، بس آگے پھر 21ویں شب کو ایک مرتبہ صرف آپ کی توجہ کی ضرورت ہے، آنکھوں کو تر کرنے کے لیے کافی ہے۔ بڑی دھیمی آواز سے مولا نے کہا، بنیا حسن، اے میرے بیٹے حسن، توقف ہنی اتن، تھوڑی دیر کے لیے انتظار کرو، شیعوں سے کہو کہ گھر جائیں، بس عیادت ہو گئی، مشایعت ہو گئی، لوگ جا نہیں رہے۔ مولا کہتے ہیں، بیٹا روکو، جاؤ انہیں اندر، ان سے کہو جائیں، ارے اندر زینب و ام کلثوم، میرا یہ حال دیکھیں گے، ارے روئیں گی، نا محرموں تک آواز پہنچے گی۔ میں صرف اتنا ہی کہتا ہوں، یا علی، اے شامیہ بستند باسو زینب۔